Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dirt Boy Podcast, where we talk about a variety of interesting topics. I am your host, Rugged, the Lovable Huggable Dragon, and we're here on episode 12 discussing my history with PC gaming. So for those who don't know, yes, I've been a gamer for such a long time, right? I've always been on consoles like Nintendo, Sony, PlayStation 1, 2, and 3, all that. But PC gaming was something that I was kind of afraid of initially, but then after a while, I decided, you know what? I should probably get into it. And I never looked back ever since. So yes, currently I am a PC gamer. It's very amazing. Yes, I'm one of those elitists where I'm like, oh, I got myself a good graphics card and a GPU and CPU and all that. What do you got there? An Xbox? Oh, my phone is more powerful than that little hunk of junk. No, I'm not like that. Well, I do mimic the whole PC master race kind of person. I do mock some people sometimes, but it's just a jest. You know, it's a mild jest. I don't honestly think that if somebody plays a console, I'm gonna be like, ew, 30 FPS, what am I looking at, a slideshow? So anyway, we're gonna get into the whole history about that, but before we get on to the main topic, I actually have one piece of mail, a fan letter, I guess, no, more like a tweet. We had a question from Calculus Dog, give you a little shout out there. He asked me this simple question: when will Call of Duty stop making weapon and outfit? When will Call of Duty stop making weapon slash outfit cosmetic crap and start actually working on a solid game? The answer is never, in terms of cosmetic stuff, because it sells too well, right? You start releasing these bundles, people are going to buy them. They're not going to stop. It's even worse when you have people buying all the anime bundles and people are wondering, why is there anime in my games? It's because we are buying them. Right. If we did not like them, we would speak up with our wallets. But unfortunately, we're not getting that message. And we're continuing to buy these cosmetics. And Activision is like, hey, we released this bundle, and they sold really well. Let's make more of those. And every time they do that, they get more and more profits. So if I'm running a business and I have to survive, and I know that my fans that are buying all of these cosmetics based on a certain theme, I'm going to keep giving it to them. I'm going to be like, hey, look, you like that one anime bundle? Well, here's another anime bundle. Here you go. Right? I need to eat, right? I need to have my developers creating these games for you to play. That's just the way the cookie crumbles, so to speak. So I don't think it's going to ever stop. In terms of actually working on a solid game, that's kind of a tough topic to discuss because we had the last two Call of Duty games, Cold War and Vanguard, kind of being pressured to being released, right? They weren't quite ready, but they were forced out anyway. Cold War favored better, but Vanguard not so much because there's a lot of issues with it in terms of bugs and all that stuff. So that is why the next Call of Duty game in 2023 will not be released. Instead, we will get 2 years of Modern Warfare 2, which actually had a recent teaser coming out for it. The trailer, I don't know when it's going to drop right now. It is currently It's May 3rd right now. And eventually we'll get a teaser for Modern Warfare 2 in terms of a trailer. So who knows? But we're getting that game 2 years in a row. And we're also getting the sequel to Warzone. So hopefully the next Warzone is a lot better than the first one, because I didn't like Warzone initially. And ever since these updates kept coming out, the game just got more clustered and a lot more problems came out with it. So hopefully they start fresh, everything works great, and we all have a good time with it. Alrighty, so let's get on to the main topic, which is my history of PC gaming. So I hope you enjoy this episode, everybody. So to start off my story, I am not going to be very detailed with specifics. All I can know is that my first time ever playing on a computer for entertainment purposes, for video game purposes, was around 1992 or 93. I was in first or second grade, right? And my old school, we finally got a computer in our classroom, right? And it had an old version of Windows on it. I have no idea. It was like way before 95. I can't remember if it was Windows 3.1. But we had a simple game we were playing on it. And it was a class activity. It was called Rock, Paper, Scissors. We never understood the concept of the actual game, right? You'll need a computer to play it, but alas, there was a computer game with rock, paper, scissors. So we're like, oh, okay, how do you play? And we were taught, okay, well, scissors cut paper, paper covers rock, rock crushes scissors. Okay, it's interesting. So we go up to the keyboard with like two students go up to the keyboard, right? And one is for rock, two is for paper, three is for scissors. And we put our little key combination in there. We say, okay, I'm going to go two. And then this other kid doesn't know what I put in. He puts like three or one or whatever. And we watch the screen animate where these hands turn into the objects. And we were like, oh, this is so cool, right? I've never seen that game again. I don't even know what it was called. It was back when monitors weren't exactly high tech yet. This game was like ancient, absolutely ancient looking something, but like it was, I don't understand why we played this game in school anyway. We were just taught a simple game. And from then on, it sucked to me. I knew how to play rock, paper, scissors. I obtained that knowledge. I absorbed it. It wasn't until later on when I started getting more into computers, when back in 1995, around there, I was in middle school. I was in, what grade was I? Was I third grade or, no, I was in fourth grade, I believe. I can't remember. But we enter the fourth grade. It was around 95, I think like early 96 around there. Our principal gathers all of the students in the school to the cafeteria. You know, all the chairs are set up. We sit down. So our principal starts going to us, hey, we are going to get the internet with new computers and Windows 95. And everyone's like, oh my God, Dia, it's so crazy. And they're whispering. I whisper back and I look to my left and I go, what is the internet? I'm showing my age here. Yeah, I did not know what the internet was. What is it? The World Wide Web? What's going on? Are we being invaded by spiders here? We got webs and everything? Like, what's going on? So we eventually got these new computers. It was the old big monitors, you know, the fat monitors, not the thin ones. And they're resting on top of the computer case, which was like leaning horizontally, which is weird to me now because everything's all vertical. But yeah, we had these computers installed. We started learning how to operate them. It's like, okay, so you type in the address. You type in http://www.blankblankblank.com. And we're thinking, why do we need to put all of these? This is so confusing. Nowadays, it's just this website.com or .org or .gov, right? We were getting taught these very simple, like, this is like back when the computer age was just beginning, right, for the internet. They actually had classes on this, right? And I'm learning how to operate these computers. So eventually it becomes second nature to go enter websites and all that. And it was basically, I said to myself, oh, the internet's kind of like a online encyclopedia. You don't need the books. You just type what you want to search for, and there's your information right there. Boom, done. Pretty simple. And then later on, we discovered that there were more games that were being released over the time. So before that Windows 95 came out, I remember we had these old computers in the same library, and there was a game I played called Descent. Back in 1994, it was like a flight simulator. I don't know if it was a flight simulator or not. I can barely remember the game. I remember it was, you were basically had a cockpit, or you could disable the cockpit HUD, and you just travel around these different areas. And I can't remember if you shoot things down or not. Very old game, never really played that much, can't really remember it. But I remember in 1995, we had our first taste of gaming on a computer. I think it was released in 95, 96, I can't remember. It was called Oregon Trail 2. And if you think Dark Souls, Elden Ring, Bloodborne were hard, Oregon Trail 2 makes those games look like Hello Kitty Island Adventure. It was brutal. So I played Oregon Trail 2, right? And I'm like, all right, we're going to make it to Oregon. I know we are. Okay, we got a lot of money here. Let's get our ammunition. Let's get our food. Let's get our other supplies, medical stuff, right? We go on our trail. We stop by towns, rest up. We got full meals. We're hunting for food. We're crossing the rivers very safely. Everyone died of dysentery. And then we got the... Wait. Well, what? What the... We barely even made it 10 miles, and we're dead. Well, okay, let's try this again. okay, well, all right, we're making it farther than last time, and we got this town, we got everything good, everyone's eating well, you know, we don't got meager food rations or anything like that, we're good to go, and everyone died of a snake bite, and we're going all the way up to the rift. Okay. I think this game is messing with me. It's kind of like a life lesson. It's like, no matter how hard you try, you're gonna end up failing. You could try again, but, you know, you're gonna be aggravated. But who knows? Survival of the fittest, I suppose. There was a couple other games on there, too. I remember we finally got our own PC. It was an old PC. It was super slow. You tried to start this thing up. I can go start it up, go to school, come back, and it finally loaded to the main menu. I'm exaggerating a bit, but it was so slow. You couldn't even play MP3 files. It could not handle an MP3 file playing. It would play for like a little bit, and then it would just start skipping. I name a computer nowadays that can't play MP3 files. Oh, God. Why? But that's the only thing we had. And if we really needed it for like research or homework and all that stuff, that's what we had to use. There were a couple of games that did work for it, but my God, like, why would you play them? But my sister was actually into certain games. She was playing this game called Math Blaster, or was it Math Blaster 2? I can't remember. It was basically a spaceman going through these different environments, different areas, and you have to solve problems to progress. Very simple game. You could beat it very easily, right? I remember actually it was actually pretty enjoyable. I mean, the math was easy, but I did like the game. It was neat. I mean, better than what I had currently. I had a bunch of Super Nintendo games, but I beat them already. So I'm like, this is something new. We eventually got our first real game called Sonic CD. We got it. My brother got it. I don't know where he got it from. And in 1998, we got this game on our computer, and it somewhat worked. The music never worked, and we had to lower the resolution of the game itself. Now, typically, you can lower the graphical resolution, right, to make your games run faster. Back then, I think it was just reducing the size of the game on your screen, sort of like squishing it like into a smaller box so it can run faster. We had to do that for this game. It did not run well. And even then, with a smaller screen, this game was going at least 30, less than 30 FPS. That's not ideal for a Sonic game. We never fully beat it, but I remember having this game in my CD player more than I was playing the actual game, because the soundtrack was fantastic for Sonic CD. Horrifying, but fantastic. When I say horrifying, I have to specifically mention the boss theme for Robotnik. Now, Sonic CD had... Now, I'm kind of rambling on about Sonic CD, but last little fact here. Sonic CD in Japan versus the USA version had two different soundtracks, basically. The Sonic CD from Japan was a bit more, like, I guess, happier, upbeat. Our version was sort of the same way, except they changed the boss music. If you listen to the boss music from Sonic CD in the American version, I'm like, what the hell? Getting freaking nightmare fuel from this. You'll have to listen to it, or I might actually play it on my podcast as I'm talking, so you'll definitely hear it right about now. And as you're listening, you're like, what the heck, who authorized this, freaking Satan? So around that same year, or in the early 2000s, we eventually got a sort of newer computer. Worked better, but it was still terrible. We got these donation computers, I think, from my brother-in-law back in the day. And it was good enough to where I could play music, but it was also the time where I discovered emulation. Now, in high school, I went over to my friend's house, and we were all hanging out. We were like talking about Dungeons and Dragons, what character we want to be. Yes, I'm a nerd, I'm sorry. And he was on this computer, and I'm like, okay, what are you going to play? And he started playing Earthbound. I'm like, whoa, how'd you get on the computer? He goes, oh, it's something called an emulator. An emulator, you say? What is this? Oh, it's something called ZSNES. You just download the games, they're called ROMs, and then you find the folder, you load them, and you play. I'm like, what? All this time? So I went home, found these ROMs, and started playing them. Now, I didn't have a controller, so the next best... the next best thing was to use a keyboard. Just a keyboard. I know. Crazy, right? So I remember the NES was easier because all had, my right hand was basically on the arrow keys. My left hand, I think shift was B and Z was A. So if I wanted to attack, I hit shift. And if I wanted to jump, I hit Z. You know, two-handed approach. It was interesting. For Super Nintendo, it was a little different. I had to put, like, button commands on A and X and control and all that, and space maybe. But it worked out pretty good. I think space was R. Control was L. I can't remember the other buttons, but how the heck did I do that? I'm just wondering myself. How did I play Mario Castlevania on just a keyboard? That's insane. I mean, I guess because I got used to it, I had so much practice with it, it eventually just became second nature. But I can't think to myself, like, I can't do that anymore. I can't go back to that. No, I need a controller in my hands. I can't do a freaking keyboard. I think I was a sadistic little kid back then. Well, I was, but in that degree of learning how to do something and dedicated myself towards playing with just a keyboard for those kind of games, insanity. No, I'm going to look at my younger self and be like, if I went back in time, I'd look at myself and be like, you're crazy. Keep going. So many years later, there was kind of a PC gaming drought. I didn't really play on the computer much for gaming. I mainly just used it for downloading music, browsing the internet, looking up porn. I mean, researching very important historical topics. Well, if it wasn't until 2011. So I think around actually 2010 or late 2009, I got a job. And it was a CD-DVD manufacturing plant. So I go in there. And I'm working, I make a few friends, and there's this one guy, I'm not going to say his name, I'm just going to call him Ralph. Okay, so that's his, like, alias. So Ralph basically says, hey, man, you know, like, we're talking, and I'm talking about, like, the new Call of Duty game, and he asks me, like, what platform, are you playing on PC? I said, oh, no, I'm playing on 360. He goes, 360? Oh, gosh, my phone has more power than that console. Like, and you notice that I said that before, right? That's where I got it from, right? This guy was, would you say, a PC elitist in a way? He always talked trash about the consoles. Like, they don't have enough frames. They don't have the good resolutions. They don't have mod support. Mouse and keyboard is better. You can always upgrade your system. Whereas those things, they're just stuck the way they are until you get a new platform that releases later on. You know, at first, I'm like, yeah, buddy, you know, you play your PC, I'm on my console, I like it better, I got achievements and all that. But then after a while, he started making more convincing arguments about the whole technical aspect of it. So I'm like, maybe, I might consider it. 2011, I was considering getting a PC build, but I realized that I mostly play Call of Duty, and the console versions of those games are way more populated on PC. Plus, on PC, you don't have to deal with hackers as much, so I had to forego that decision until 2014. Now, 2014 was when I really set myself to getting a PC. One of the main reasons why, aside my friend, who always was like the PC Master Race guy, right? I saw this YouTube video, and I kept watching it over and over, right? Because, like, back then, I was stubborn. I was like, you know what? I'll stick the console, right? It can't be that bad. Crysis is coming out for console. That means they must be popular and powerful enough to run Crysis. For those who don't know, Crysis came out in 2007 on PC, and it was the most heavily demanded game on that platform for a very long time. Like, a lot of people thought their PC rigs back in 2007 were highly advanced and all that. They could run any game. Here comes Crysis, breaking the wall down like freaking the Kool-Aid man, going, you don't have the power to run me. and there comes the whole meme about, can it run Crysis? As in, your computer is going to blow up if you try to play this game. It was kind of, it was a video game at heart, but it was more like a technical demonstration of, you need better hardware, you know? So anyway, fast forward. And I realized Crysis 1 is coming out on the console. And I'm like, oh, well, my platform should definitely be able to handle this, right? I play a little bit of the game, and I think it looks great. But then I went on YouTube, and I saw this video called Crysis, Console versus PC. And I'm like, let's watch this. And I see the console version of the game and the trees and the sunlight. And I'm like, oh, that looks great. That looks pretty great, you know? And then it transitions to the PC version. And I'm like, okay, oh my God. Oh my, it's real life. It's real life. And then I see the console version of like some boxes and more of the forest area. And I'm like, oh, that looks pretty good. All right, let's see what it looks like on PC. Oh my God. How does it look this good? And that video, I will give you a little shout out there. The person on YouTube who uploaded that video is named Mr. JPDS12. I know, interesting name, right? And I'll provide a link of the description, by the way. And like, every time I hear that video, I always get that song stuck up my head. That song that plays, and I was watching the footage. I'm like, that's it. I'm sold. I need a PC. I need one. So I go back to my friend Ralph, and I told him, hey, do you build PCs and all that? He goes, yeah, what's up? I'm like, yeah, I think I might want one. He goes, okay, well, what kind of performance are you getting? What kind of performance do you need out of it? I'm like, well, I don't know anything about hardware or anything like that, so I just want to be able to run games like Crysis at 60 FPS. He goes, all right. So he basically gives me my first ever build after a while. I paid him a bunch of money, and I finally got the PC, got some tutorials, how to install things, all that stuff. And my first ever PC build that he got me. So my case itself, it was an Antec GX700 case. It looks weird. It's, since I was in the military and he knew it, he figured that he would get me a military-themed PC case. And it was pretty nice, you know, it had like a DVD drive and everything like that. So anyway, inside of this military PC case, I opened it up and everything. I believe my first motherboard was something called a Gigabyte GA79X, or 97X, excuse me. I think it only supported like 4th to 5th gen CPUs. I can't remember exactly. I forgot to give you a disclaimer, guys. If you're a PC nerd, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. If you are unaware of anything PC related, I apologize. I'll try to explain it as best as I can. So, yeah, the motherboard itself is essentially the nervous system of the computer, right? It houses the graphics card, the RAM, the CPU, all these other things. It basically sends the signals to everything. I'm not going to be a PC expert myself, but I'm going to try to explain it in a way that everyone can understand. So, along with that, I had 16 gigabytes of DDR3 memory, which... DDR3. No, we're up to DDR4. And I think eventually we're going up to DDR5, I believe, eventually. I can't remember. But DDR3 was the thing back then. My first ever graphics card was the GTX 780. Yeah, it's pretty decent today. If you want to play games at 60 FPS at 1080p, perfectly fine, for the most part. I mean, you might not get the full performance out of certain other games nowadays, like, say, Red Dead Redemption, but it was good for the time, right? I was able to run Crysis at 60 FPS. Now, we'll get into the whole frame rate perspective thing later on. My first ever CPU that was installed was the i7-4770K. Again, decent computer chip. I had it for a very long time, about, like, maybe 3 or 4 years, and eventually I upgraded. So, and in regards to what I have now, I had to actually upgrade the case. So I kind of lied a little bit about building my PC, yes and no. I did get a pre-built from a place called Redux, and they gave me a TD500 Cooler Master case, mainly because the computer graphics card that I had purchased did not fit. It was an RTX 3080 Ti. I can't remember, it was like a Gigabyte version. It was a much bigger version of the card, right? It couldn't fit in the case. So I got a pre-built, but I had it with like lower end hardware so I can eventually swap out the parts and upgrade it. So yeah, I got, and I put those spare parts in my old case. But currently my setup right now, I have a TD, I think it was called a TD500 Cooler Master case. My motherboard right now is the Asus Z690P. And my computer chip, I upgraded to the i7-9700K, But then now I have the i9-12900K. God, these names are freaking confusing. And my graphics card, I started off with the 780, upgraded to a 980 Ti, had the 2080 Super for a long time, and now currently I have the 3080 Ti, which is fantastic, by the way. So, yeah, and that's pretty much all my hardware. Now let's get into the whole resolution and FPS, right? So, like I said before, I didn't care too much about 60 FPS or more than that, right? 60 FPS for me was perfectly fine because I didn't really see the advantages yet of a higher resolution and a high, or not resolution, a higher refresh rate with combined with frames per second, right? I didn't understand, right? 60 Hertz, 60 FPS, I didn't see anything wrong with it. It was perfectly fine for me, perfectly playable. Still is for a lot of people. But then I realized, you know, what is it about higher frame rates that's so good? And everyone's like, well, you get to see the action, like your the response time is better. If your refresh rate on your monitor is higher, a higher FPS means you get a smoother image. And I'm like, what is a refresh rate? And basically I was doing research and trying to figure out like computer monitors. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what monitors. I've had a couple monitors in the past. So let's just go to the one I currently have. The current monitor I have is the ASUS ROG Strix XG248Q monitor, right? That's what I currently have because I wanted something that didn't have screen tear, right? Back in the day, if you did not want screen tear on your monitor, you had to enable VSync. But VSync was terrible because it added a lot more input delay. So then I finally got this monitor. It has G-Sync compatibility, 1080p, 240 hertz. That's pretty good. And the reason, and it's only a 23.9-inch monitor, 23.8-inch actually, to be exact. I don't need a big monitor because I got a desk. The monitor is right in front of me, so I don't need anything bigger than that. And yes, I still game at 1080p, but the advantage to that is that despite my large amount of hardware I have in my PC currently, it makes the games so much smoother. It doesn't put too much pressure on the hardware either. So it's basically about lastability and just performance, right? You crank up the performance while at the same time preserving the lastability of the PC. So, but anyway, I got into these resolutions and higher frame rates, right? And I was hooked. I was hooked. Like, I couldn't believe to myself, man, I just played these games at 30 FPS. Like, I remember that's what I was doing with a game called Crisis. It was Far Cry 4, I believe. Far Cry 4 was one of the first full-fledged PC games that I played at 60 FPS, and the game ran really well. Except when I turned up the god rays and the fur quality, that's when the PC started going, oh, a little too much there, but but the main other reason why I got into PC, I think my first ever game I played on my gaming rig when it was built for me back in 2014, I played a game called Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2. What year did that come out, by the way? Let me look it up real quickly. So yeah, February 25th, 2014. Because I realized also that the game was running at a smooth 60 FPS during the YouTube gameplay trailers. But then I realized on console it's 30 FPS. And I'm like, oh, so the PC version can handle this game a lot better. And it looks better too. So I got that game, played it, beat it, liked it. Not as much as the first Lords of Shadow, but still a good game. But let's get back on topic, shall we? So let's get to the next part, which was the mouse and keyboard. Oh my god. So I know I shouldn't have done this. When I first started playing on PC, I was never into mouse and keyboard. I was mostly controller. Even on FPS games like Far Cry 4, I was playing on just a controller. And I realized everyone's saying, well, you got to get the mouse and keyboard because it's more accurate, you know, and you'll need aim assist. So I was like, all right. So I started to eventually dabble in the whole mouse and keyboard movement. And the first game that actually taught me how to use mouse and keyboard efficiently was a not so great game called Homefront: The Revolution. I decided, you know what, I'm going to play through this game, but I need to learn how to play. And you know, initially I had a regular keyboard, but it wasn't a gaming keyboard. I had limited desk space at the time, so I had to get myself a keypad instead of a keyboard. that keypad was known as the, what was it, the Razer Tartarus? Yes, the Razer Tartarus. It was a good because it was small. It had membrane keys. Quiet, by the way. I don't like loud, clicky keyboards. I like quieter keyboards. The 10 keyless was pretty good for a while, but then I said to myself, you know what? I need a full-fledged keyboard, because if I'm going to go somewhere else, I can't use my keypad everywhere. I need a full-fledged keyboard. So I got myself a Razer Black Widow Tournament Edition. It's a 10 keyless. For those who don't know, 10 keyless basically is missing the number pad. You still got the arrow keys, and you still got the F key, the function keys, but it's more compact compared to a full-size keyboard. And that's what I want, because desk space is a little limited on my current setup right now. And it's also I think it's an orange switch. I can't remember. So Razer has these switches. Like, green is very loud and clicky. Orange is quieter, and yellow is also quiet too. So I got myself the orange switches, and they're really nice. You don't hear that much clicking. You can hear the keys, but they're not really loud. So anyway, it was difficult using mouse and keyboard for movement, because WASD is what I use. My gosh, I was trying to figure out things like, okay, how the heck do I move? And I'm always missing my jumps. I'm trying to like figure out where how I'm supposed to be moving. You know, like, I would always go forward and backward with W and S, but I would never use A and D while I was strafing. I would never strafe that much. I'm like, okay, I gotta learn to strafe. I gotta start using these keys more often. I started getting comfortable near the end of the game, but I wasn't fully comfortable just yet, right? For every other game, I'm like, oh yeah, mouse and keyboard all the way. Not for Call of Duty. Call of Duty was harder to get used to mouse and keyboard, because that game I was playing with a controller since 2007. And it wasn't until Black Ops Cold War in 2021 was when I decided I need to start transitioning to mouse and keyboard, right? I did. Then I went back to controller for a while. I'm like, okay, this is comfortable again. Then I said to myself, you know what? Put this controller down, start getting used to mouse and keyboard. It was frustrating because I had to adjust my sensitivities, had to figure out like different types of DPIs. I mentioned sensitivity earlier. There was also something called your aiming style, which was either legacy or relative based on your monitor coefficient. I'm not going to explain that. Basically, I chose the relative option because I felt it was smoother for like smaller movements with the mouse, right? So I can aim better. So currently in Call of Duty, I am running a 14 sensitivity and my mouse has an 800 DPI. Now, I looked up research about DPI settings. I thought the higher the DPI, the better. Not really. The higher the DPI, the more sensitive your mouse is. If you put this thing on, like, cranked it up to, like, 10,000, you're going to be spinning faster than a high-velocity fan. And you don't want that. So I've looked up research on what is the preferred DPI for most gamers, and I found out that a lot of professional gamers on mouse and keyboard tend to use around 600, 800, or 1,000 DPI. So I went with the middle ground and chose 800. And I'm still using it currently. Now, with a mouse I had, my first mouse I've ever had was called the Razer Lancehead. Wired mouse. I still have it. Still great. Still works. But then I upgraded to the Razer Viper Wireless, it was half off during Christmas, and I had to get it. Lightweight. Battery lasts forever. I love it. It's smooth. It's great. I love it. I still use it. I love it. And I'm more interested in Razer products, right? I know other people have opinions about like what their favorite brand is. Some people choose Corsair. I choose Razer. That's just me, right? Except my headset. My headset that I currently have is the, what is it? I can't remember exactly. It's a G Pro. It's a G Pro wired headset. It had the leather ear cups, but then I replaced it with cloth. Cloth is more breathable, and you can hear things outside of your headset more often, because I can't stand putting on a pair of headset, like a headset, right, and not being able to hear my own voice. That's excruciatingly annoying. So I need some kind of way to hear myself talk. So that way I'm not screaming out loud because I can't hear myself. Now, for the longest time, I know I should be talking about PC games, but last thing about the headsets. For the longest time, I was using the Turtle Beach. And I think it was the PX51. I can't remember what headset it was. I like that headset because it sounded good and it had a feature where if you put your microphone in, it could echo your own voice back in your ears in a way. It was really nice and convenient. But that headset could not handle bass very well. And it's old, it's decrepit, I don't use it anymore. This headset I currently use, the G Pro, is amazing. It's not wireless, it's wired, but it's great. So, in regards to future ideas for my PC, I had considered getting a 21:9 monitor for full immersion. Everyone's like, that's great for full immersion and all that. I did research. It is a good buy, people say. The only issue is that if you have your FOV cranked up quite a bit or field of view, you're going to get more distortion on the edges of your screen since you've got a wider image. The other issue is that you're going to have more performance issues with it because it's a bigger screen. It's going to have to render more of the area that you're playing on. But if you really like that immersion, definitely get one, right? I'm considering it one day, but time will tell. In terms of other things, I used to use my PC for all the streaming, right? I used to be able to handle encoding on OBS on my main gaming PC while playing my games. Now, that's a kind of a bad combo because your game can run at like 150 FPS easily. But then when you start turning on OBS and start encoding and using it for live streaming, you're going to get a major hit out of your performance. You're going to go from 150 frames to like 110. Or so, it doesn't matter. I'm not quite sure why. So, well, I know why. Why am I saying that? I know why. Because your PC is working harder. So it's going to reduce the quality of your game. So then I decided later on, I should just get myself a separate computer. So currently I'm using a laptop for streaming because, and the laptop's got some good specs. It's got a 3070 in there, an i7 CPU and all that. It can handle streaming just fine. Now, I'm a little worried about a future idea which I want to have, which is I want to get myself into VR more often as well. And along with VR, I want to eventually commission a 3D model of my character, custom made. I want my character to look amazing. Now, if I get that file of my 3D model and load it to a VTuber program on my laptop, my worry is that it may or may not handle it. But if it doesn't, I got a backup, don't worry. I got my old PC case that I still have. All the parts are in it now. And if ever comes a time where my laptop can't handle streaming anymore because of the 3D model, I'll just get myself a brand new monitor, 21:9, use my old monitor for the old computer, and use that for streaming. So it'll be very effective. So basically, that's my history of PC gaming. It's a long road. I've had some issues here and there. Like, I didn't know what frame rates... I knew what frame rates were, but I didn't know what resolutions were. Later found out about G-Sync. Got into mouse and keyboard, finally. I'm kind of a late bloomer for that, but... Well, for Call of Duty, at least, right? It's been 2 years, and I can't go back to controller for Call of Duty, right? Mouse and keyboard, I'm just very familiar with. And I can't go back to controller, because it feels so weird to try to play Call of Duty with a controller in my hands. I'm like, oh my god, oh god, this, I put it, now I have to put it down and put my hands on the keyboard and mouse. it's really, really interesting. It is, so if I could offer some tips as to PC building in general or PC gaming and all that, if you really want high frame rates and you really want a smoother image, then yeah, spend more money and get yourself a high refresh rate monitor. Right. But if you don't really care too much about your resolutions or your frame rates, then you also have that option too. You could buy parts that are not exactly high quality. You could save a lot of money and still get a platform that's better than an Xbox Series X. Yeah, I know it's kind of hard to say nowadays, but yeah. If you get yourself a 3070 or a 3070 or maybe a 2080 Super and all that, and you're playing at like 4K, 2K or 1080p or whatever, then you're gonna have a good time, right? If you're playing, however, if you're trying to get like the full high frames with 4K, you're going to be spending a pretty penny on that. So just be aware. If you have the money, go for it. If not, you know, try to save your money or try to do more research on it. For mouse and keyboard, it is technically better for aiming and all that, but don't let that scare you when other people use it, right? I hear this all the time, right? Everyone's like telling me, well, crossplay is a bad idea with Call of Duty because you got mouse and keyboard aimers and all that. The hardware is good, but the skill of mastering it ranges from person to person. Not every single person on PC using a mouse and keyboard is going to dominate every single controller user. That's just generalization. Like thinking a PC gamer who uses mouse and keyboard will destroy everybody, that's like thinking that every single person from Iraq is going to bomb you. That's terrible to think about it like that, right? That's called generalization. I know I used a crude example, but you know what I mean. What else could I offer in terms of... I wouldn't use a PC for a TV. I've had some people ask me, like, can you play this computer on the TV? You can, but you get a better experience using a monitor. Now, if you don't like small monitors, there are bigger ones out there, but note that you might also have to crank up the performance because some monitors that are bigger in size will come with bigger resolutions, like 1440p or 4K. So bear that in mind as well. In terms of building a PC, I can't really help you out that much. So I would just say watch as many videos as you can because there are plenty of PC building tutorials, do's and don'ts and all that stuff. If you ever want to find a video of everything involving PC building that you don't want to do, find a re-upload of the PC build, the infamous PC build from The Verge, and make sure you watch the one video where all these PC builders react to it. That is an enjoyable video, and it really teaches you a lot on what not to do so you can avoid mistakes. And then go into the actual legitimate PC building videos where they actually give you some good lessons or a full run through in first. There's actually a first person perspective PC building video. I think it's from Linus Tech Tips. I can't remember. He's a good YouTuber as well. But anyway, don't be intimidated by PC building. It's a learning experience, but in the end, when you learn it and you perfect your craft, you're not going to look back, right? You're not going to look back at the consoles. I still have the console, by the way. I prefer a PC, but I have the Nintendo Switch, I have an Xbox, and I have a PlayStation 4. I haven't gotten a Series X or a PS5 because there are not that many exclusive games for it that I want to get yet. Eventually, I might go with the newer consoles, but for now, PC is my main home and always will be. Unless something happens in the future, we get a sequel to the PC platform called PC2, right? No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, I'm going to end it on a good note here. So this is my video about my history of PC gaming. My question to you is, you can reply to me on Twitter as well as Discord. Any questions in general you want to ask me, do so. If you want to be a guest, let me know. But my question to you is, when did you get into PC gaming? And what are your specs? And what are the best parts about gaming on a PC in general, right? Leave those replies to me on Twitter. And yeah, I'll read them out loud next episode if we have any mail. And yeah, I hope you all enjoyed this video. I greatly appreciate all the support that you give me, if you do. And I also appreciate the patience you have when it comes to my ability to talk or lack of it. I am not a good speaker, but I figured, hey, I got nothing to lose. Anywho, I hope you all enjoyed the podcast. I hope you all have a very, very nice day. I'll see you guys next time. Take it easy, everybody.